Madame Boy Say, let's for the late Parshas Bo.
We welcome our return and learn guests. God bless you. And Mirtz Hashem, Abalin Latov. I hope this is a very good message. It took me this week a good few hours to find something. I find a lot of Divrei Torah, but I want to find something very matim. And unfortunately, the way that I work is if there's a story, if something happens, so I want to revolve around that today, because I have a great story, Mitzvah Hashem, I'll be zoichet to tell at the end, which will wrap hopefully everything up. Yitzias Mitzrayim, something that obviously is, you know, I can't say Maisa Ovo Simon Labanim, but is something that we remember always and forever. Obviously, we have a chiyuv to remember it every single day. We remember it certainly in Kriya Shema twice a day, and it is something that certainly takes us through the Seder, and it is something that is a Maisa Ovo Simon Labanim in the sense of we in the Judaism do not have holidays that are remembrances. And this is a mistake that sometimes people make, and that is that they think that a holiday is a holy day for remembrance of what happened once. Right? This evening, we will have Rosh Chodesh Shvat, HaBa'alein Latova. Rosh Chodesh Shvat is not a remembrance of the moon. It's a Mechadesh B'tu B'chol Yom Tamid that, obviously, this week's parasha, Chodesh Hazel Lachem, the Chidush. Every month, you have a chance to start anew. Pesach is a time also where a person has a chance to start anew. I saw that idea that V'yagata Levincha V'yom Ahu is not just a children's story that we have a chiyuv to tell. It's to remind ourselves, as we remind our children, this story is a birth of the Jewish nation. We are reborn every single Pesach. Moshe Rabbeinu tells the mean Paro so many times, it's going to happen. We're going to leave. And now, after we've gone through the 7 Makot in last week's Parsha, we now join the program as the Makot of Darkness has just ended. Vayikra Paro el Moshe, Vayomer. He says, all right, this is getting bad. Lechu, abdu es Hashem lokecha rak. Right? He goes, you will serve, but rak sonchem ubekarchem. You can go and serve Hashem, but leave your flock, your cattle, let them stay put. And even your children can go with you. So now he has an idea. Paro, in his entire life, thinks that he's in charge. He, even after all these makos, he can't fathom the fact that he's not going to be in charge. And what does he say? He says, it's going to be on my terms. Fine, I'll let you go, but leave your flock here. Which is interesting that even though they were in Avdus Paru bin Mitzrayim, and they were slaves, they still had their own flock. And he says, here's my terms. So, pretty good deal. All you have to do is, you know, leave your stuff there, and you can leave. Comes along Moshe Vayomer Moshe, Gam Ata Titein B'yadeinu Zavachim V'Oilois V'Asinu La'ashem Elokeinu. Wow! What a chutzpah. Great chutzpah, Moshe Rabbeinu says. No, you too are going to give. Not only are we going to take our animals, we're going to take your animals. And we're going to take your avodazores and make them into what? Into korbanos. The korban Pesach. We're going to make zvachim and oilos with it. Wow. The gam, and then he continues and he says, even our livestock as well are going to go with us. Nothing's going to be left behind. Right? And of course, v'yechazek Hashem et lev paro. And he doesn't agree to these terms. But there's a key line, says the Chiddush Arim here. The Anachnu lo neida mana avod Hashem Elokeinu be'anei Osham. We shall not serve Hashem until the arrival there. We don't know what our point is. We don't know, says the Chiddush Arim. Mana avod Hashem Elokeinu be'anei Osham. We don't even know what our final point is. Of departure is, what our goal is. We just know we have to leave Mitzrayim. Further instructions will happen after this point, right? Should there be further instructions, we'll follow. Back in the olden days, I don't know if they still do this, I think they do. There used to be something called the TV, I don't know if you know what those are. And they would have the test of the emergency broadcast system, right? All of a sudden, it would be like, there's the only time, you know, in America, like a little kid could get a little bit scared. Fortunately, here in Eretz Yisrael, we have sirens and things like that that gets them scared. Or when a truck stops a certain way, you go, oh my God, was that a siren? No, okay, we're fine. Right? So what does it say? The test of the emergency broadcast system. What do they say? If this had been a real test, further instructions would follow. They would tell you what to do. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I don't even know. We know that we have a tzivut from the Ribbono Shel Olam to leave Mitzrayim. We're leaving. And we don't know what our avodah will be. Says the Halakha Chidushei Arim. What does this mean? Right? I'm sorry to keep using the term Maisa of Asim Laban. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us something for generations. We do not know our path. We don't know what Hashem has set out for us. We don't know what Hashem wants us to do with life. We have no idea. We have a tafkid in life that the Ribbono Shel Olam has not revealed to us. He wants to do the best that we can. We all don't know our personal tafkid. We know that we have to just push forward and doing the best that we can. And a lot of times when we think of this grand idea, so we think about, I hope we should think about, and certainly in our lives, we should always be thinking about, what is my tafkid? Whether I'm 19 years old, or 20, or 200 years old. Okay, fine, not 200, fine. Or I'm 50, or I'm 40. I keep thinking in my life, am I on the right path? Can I do more? What is my tafkid in life? What does Hashem want of me? Rabbi Fran points out, and it's interesting, because Rabbi Fran writes this in his Sefer, and then I just saw an interview with some of the heads of HASC, and they asked for, give us an amazing story. So Rabbi Fran, in his Sefer, he writes on the Parsha, he says that when he thinks of this idea of tafkid in life, he always thinks of special needs kids. And you think about how those of you that worked in HASC, so you know the great joy that oftentimes your campers bring you. It's amazing. You say to yourself, I'm so happy because this kid's making me happy. But we don't know what people's tafkidim are in life. Rabbi Fran, so this article speaks about, give us a good story. So he tells the story that Rabbi Fran came to Mimachazik, the camp, to speak to the counselors, to give them divrei chizuk, and he came for davening. And after davening, he says, I have davened in my life in front of great Rosh Yeshiva, great tzaddikim. Never in my life have I had a davening like this. And I could tell you, this year, this summer, I think it was my first time that I went for Shacharis, so I was there for Shacharis one morning. And anybody who's ever been to Camp HASC for Shacharis, it is not your typical Shacharis. First of all, it's probably one of the longest Shacharis I've ever been at. And it's amazing. And it's hard to believe, and I agree with Rabbi Fran, not that he needs me to agree with him, it was one of my best Shacharis of my life, which makes absolutely no sense, because one would argue, how can you have Kavanah during Shemoneh Esrei when everybody's screaming and doing different things? And it was awesome. And it made me think of the fact that sometimes I shush people, like, you know, they're talking, I can't concentrate. And here, I'm in a full room with people making ridiculous noises and saying crazy things, and I had such kavanah. I said, wow, this is avodas Hashem. This is the way that they're serving God better than I ever will. That reminds me, and Rabbi Fran says, it reminds me of this line, lo neida mana avodas Hashem. I don't know what Hashem wants. I don't know what He has in store for us. I don't know what my tafkid is. It also reminded me of a vort from last week's parasha, Rav Moshe Feinstein. Such an amazing vort. And I was reminded of it, Baruch Hashem, twice. One shir that I went to, and then after I came home from the shir, I was making the chulans. This is my tafkid. And I have a very little tafkid in my life. And I was listening to another shir, and they brought Rav Moshe again. I said, I got to use the Rav Moshe, but it's too late. Parshas Vayera. Oh, Hashem made me bring it over here. I apologize. I know we're 10 minutes through, but I wanted to dedicate the shir to a number of cholim. The Ribbono Shel Olam should send the Refuah Shleima B'soch Shar Cholei Yisrael, I apologize, I forgot to, but they are certainly people who are always on my mind. Shira Yael, Bas Lior Asar, what a great story. Those that saw Shira, who of course was injured, her baby, Rachmana Litzlan was killed, she went to the wedding of her nephew, I think, or brother, I forgot it now. Brother-in-law, nephew, whatever it was. And she got all dressed up, and the ambulance took her, the same ambulance, the same drivers that had picked her up originally, took her to the, it was amazing that she was able to go to the chasana. And the Tanil Ilan, Ben Shena Tzipora, a very, very difficult boy from Ranana, Rabbanu Shalom Sechenem Refuah Shlema, to Bela Bas Sora Esther Perel, and to Sora Rivka Bas Rachel, Rabbanu Shalom Sechenem all, Refuah Shlema, Besoch Shar Cholei Yisrael. Our learning should be for their Refuah. So Rav Moshe says the following. We all know this, I'm sure we all heard this many times. The Pasuk says, and actually even in this week's Parsha, when Moshe Rabbeinu has finally gotten to Moshe, to Paro, Paro calls in Aaron and Moshe to tell them, okay. So the Mefarshim tell us, why did he call Aaron? Who was the man he was speaking to? He clearly was speaking to only one person. He was speaking to Moshe. What did he need Aaron for? So he said, it shows that even Paro had decency and cover. He realized that they were a team. So how come it is, sometimes, Rashi tells us, the Pasuk says, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe, right? V'Aaron, sometimes it's Aaron and Moshe. The Pasuk actually, last week's parashah, says, Hu Aaron v'Moshe, u'Moshe. What's the vort? So Rashi's famous comment is that some places Aaron's name is mentioned before Moshe. In other places, Moshe's name is mentioned. Why? To teach us that they're Meshavim. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, this is indeed very surprising, as Rashi Moshe, he writes, Lo kam b'Yisrael k'Moshe. Moshe was the greatest prophet. There's no other prophet that's greater than him. How can you say these words? Seems, excuse me for saying, like Sheker. Shove him? They were equal? They weren't equal. I'm sorry, Aaron was great, it was amazing. What does that mean? To such an extent, Moshe Rabbeinu was the master of the whole world, and Hashem chose his holy Torah to go through who? Moshe. The master of the world, Rabbeinu Shalom, chose who? Moshe. What we say, right? Yes. Moshe emes, but Torah so emes. Torah so, it's like his Torah. How can you say this? Oh. So we can say, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, first, although Moshe's power was greater than Aaron's, they were still considered to be equal because they were both needed for the redemption of the Jewish people. And even Paro recognizes Lahavdil. One, right? Like in business, you have different functions, right? Yeah, he's the CEO, and he's great, but I also need the CFO, because he's going to financially figure out, and if I don't have a head of sales, I'm done. You have the greatest R&D companies here in Eretz Yisrael. Without a good sales guy, they're not going to sell it to anyone. So it's needed. Secondly, Aaron was considered Moshe's equal, since like Moshe, throughout his life, he performs Hashem's tafke to the utmost of his abilities, with complete faith. Even though Moshe's abilities were greater, and he was therefore given more significance to perform the task, but both dedicated themselves and both fulfilled their task. And therefore, Rabbanu Shalom didn't ask you and doesn't ask you to be Moshe Rabbeinu. He doesn't ask you to even be, I don't know, Rav Moshe Feinstein. He doesn't ask you to be, if you're not an Eitan, to be an Eitan. Doesn't ask you to be an Avram if you're not an Avram. He asks you to be Daniel Hartz. Be the best Daniel Hartz that you can be. You don't have to be the Chavis. So you're not going to go up to Shemayim and say, what happened, Hartstein? No? Why won't you like Moshe Rabbeinu? Why won't you like Rav Moshe Feinstein? At least, why won't you at least like Rav Siv? He's around your age. He's not going to even ask you that. He's going to say, why weren't you the best Daniel Hartstein you could be? Probably will say Dov Menachem. And this reminds Rav Moshe of the beautiful Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Yud Amud Beis. Oh, what a great story. Yosef, the son of Rabbi Yeshua, something happened to him. Mistoma, he went unconscious. And he lost consciousness, and in a few moments went up to Shemayim. And Baruch Hashem, he was saved. And when he was revived, his father says, "Nu, what did you see up in Shemayim?" Olam hafuch reis. famous Gemara. Olam hafuch reisi. Right? The famous Gemara, he says, I saw a topsy-turvy world. Tachtoinim lamala. Right? Those that were great down here were nothing up there. Those that were, right, v'chulu. And his father answered him, Olam hafuch lo reisi. You didn't see a olam hafuch. That's exactly it. People we consider to be superior in this world, says Rav Moshe, are in fact not necessarily superior because they haven't filled their tafkid. Some people who live in this world fulfill the Rabbanu Shalom's tafkid. We don't even know they do, and they seem like mediocre people. They're doing the best they can. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know how hard it is for them to wake up in the morning. And the fact that they come to Shachar's 5 minutes early, holy cow, Rabbanu Shalom, I don't know how you do it every morning. And another person who wakes up every morning anyway at 7 o'clock has to check his emails before, it has to Facebook before, it has to Instagram before, has to do on Twitter, and all of a sudden it's 8:10. Where's your tafkin? Or take both of those people. They both go to Kol HaBoker, dark Shanabat. Or they're here only for a few weeks. They said, I could go at 7:30, I can make it 7:30 to the Beis Medrash. And they come to the Beis Medrash at 7:30. Both of them seem to be equal. Says the Gemara, Oilum Hafach Reisi. One guy, you know what it took him to wake up at 7:30 in the morning? You have no idea. It was Mamash Oilum Hafach. And the second person, it was easy. But he could have been down at 7 o'clock in the morning. Rabbanu Shalom asks you to do your own tafkid. That's what he wants of you. So what's the answer before we get to our story? So Rav Hartson, you were really, it's a great, great voice. Shkoyach, Yidush Erim, Shkoyach, Rav Moshe finds Shkoyach, we all have a tafkid. Just tell me what my tafkid is, it'll be easier, right? I don't have that answer. So then what are we supposed to do? So the answer is very simple. Says Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson, it's very easy. All you need to do is move forward. Keep moving. You look forward and what do you see? Uh-oh. You see a sea. And you look behind you and you see the Mitzrim. And you say, we're in trouble. So what do? You don't stop there and say, all right, that's it. What are we going to do? You keep moving forward. And as you move forward and forward, you're like, the water is getting... And you become a Nachshon Ben Aminadav, and you just move forward. And Nachshon Ben Aminadav didn't go into the water and it split right away. You all know that. It went up to his nostrils. And you can imagine as he went there, he's like, all right, God, the guy that went in, God, come on. And finally it splits as he moves forward. Life is about moving forward. We don't know our tafkid. We're going to do the best that we can. That's what our life is about. I apologize if you heard the story already. It went around. I know. I got 2 WhatsApps on it. Such a great story. It talks about a tafkid. We don't know what the Rabbanu Shalom has in store for us. So Rabbi, his name is Rabbi, excuse me if I'm pronouncing it wrong, Rabbi Emin. He tells the story that he lives in Deal, New Jersey. Sephardi guy. And his mother-in-law is buried in Staten Island, New York. And every year before Rosh Hashanah, they visit her kever. His wife davens by the kever, and every year he does the same thing. He asks mechila by the kever of his mother-in-law. I can relate to that. So, no, because my mother-in-law is Staten Island. Baruch Hashem, she's alive and well. So, it was this year. Happened this year. The rabbi turns out that they're in Brooklyn, and to go to Deal, they're passing through Staten Island. He says to his wife, you know, it's a week before Rosh Hashanah anyway. We're going to make a separate trip to see your mother. We're here already. Let's just go. He says, that's a great idea. They're going back and forth. Should we do it? Is it really better? Erev Rosh Hashanah. Dafka to go Erev Rosh Hashanah. Knew we're here already. You never know what's going to happen. Let's just go. So they go, and they're she's davening. He's asking for mechila. Davening mechila. Beautiful. And he can't help but find the corner of his eye at the cemetery, a group of people. And it looks like to him, although he's from afar, it looks like that the casket is just sitting on the ground, and they're looking around like they don't know what to do. So he says to his wife, honey, if you don't mind, can I just see what's going on over there? She's like, of course, go see what's over there. This rabbi that tells the story says, Musar Haskil number one, by the way. Right? He doesn't just say, oh, whatever, it's not my problem. He goes to see. Maybe he can help. And boy, was he able to help. He sees all these people dressed in the traditional black suits. And literally, the casket, made out of just regular pine wood, is literally sitting on the floor. And they're looking around like this. And he says, excuse me, can I help you? They say, yeah, we need like a rabbi or something. And he's like, well, I'm actually a rabbi. I said, rabbi, you got to help us. Our father passed away. We're not religious or anything. We have no idea what to do now. We know there's a tradition in Judaism that the Jews are supposed to bury, not Leroy, who was in back with the tractor waiting for them to finish their Jew job, and then he would actually do the real burial. If you've ever been to a burial outside of Eretz Yisrael, you know what I'm talking about. So he says, of course. He's explaining to them, you know what the covet is, the Vias Hames, your father. Let's go. Get up, this and that. They do, they have the pulley system. They bring the body down. And he says, you, that side, left, go down a little bit more. They get it in. They go, okay, now here, take the shovel. First you do it backwards. And they're doing it, and they finally fill just the top of the casket with dirt, and that's when you say Kaddish. And he looks at he says, who are the sons? And the sons raise their hand. He says, nu, Kaddish. And they say, God bless you? He says, Kaddish, it's Kadal, nu. He says, excuse me? And he says, oh, I'm sorry. And he opens up his sitter, and he says, Kaddish, it's Kadal. I said, Rabbi, we don't know how to read Hebrew. He says, oh, okay. That's what I'm here for. Repeat after me. It's Kadal, it's Kadal, Shemira. And they repeat the whole Kaddish. And they finish. I said, Rabbi, I don't know if you realize this. If you looked around, you were number 10. There happened to be 9 men there. He was number 10. What a great, wow. He finishes, and he says, okay, now we have to finish. And they go, oh, Rabbi, enough. Leroy's there. He's got the tractor. He could do it. No. We do the whole thing. Let's go. Rabbi, let's go. And he gets them all riled up, and he starts digging, and he's digging, and he turns around, and he sees they're already in the limousine. They left already. So he does the whole thing himself. Great mitzvah. And he finishes. And Leroy gets off his tractor and he says, hey, Rabbi, seems like I don't have to do anything. Well, at least you should have the last honor. Put the stick in that has the name. And he puts in the stick with the name. And the gentleman's name was Simon Pollock. Runs, he's now all filled with dirt. And he tells his wife this great story. He says, you see, b'schus your mother, we came a week early. Now we know why we came a week early. Wow, what a great story. Shkoyach. The next week, they're at a wedding. And he's got all of his family there, his uncles, da-da-da-da. He goes to his great uncle, hasn't seen him in a while. This rabbi grew up in Seattle, Washington. His uncle still lives there. He says, I got to tell you this great story. He tells him the whole Gantz Geshef story. Stabbed in Bellary, there, they put the thing on this Simon Pollock. He says, who? Is that Simon Pollock? He goes, are you kidding me? You don't know who Simon Pollock is? He goes, no, should I? He says, when you were born, you grew up in Seattle, Washington. He says, when you were a young child, there was no education there. So we made a decision that all the children would have to go to New York to be educated. Except for one small problem. We didn't have money to send all these children. So the rabbi of the shul did an amazing thing. He made this huge kiddush. And at the kiddush, everybody was eating and happy. He lined up all the children. And he said, okay, who's going to take Avram? Who's going to sponsor him to go to yeshiva? And one man in the back, I will. And Rabbi Edmund, when they came up to you, a man in the back raised his hand, and his name was Simon Pollock. And he was the one who sponsored you. You see, when you needed him, he was there for you. And when he needed you, you were there for him. Rabbi Yisai, we don't know what our tafkin in life is. Sometimes we get lucky and we have stories like this where we say, wow, right place, right time. But we have to understand that we have to just move on. B'nai Yisrael, if we learned anything about B'nai Yisrael, they just move on. They have a Holocaust, they just move on. There's a terrorist attack, oh, do they move on? In our own times, we see the giborim of our generation. They just move on and in great ways. And they build more yeshuvim. And they keep building. They don't give up. And that's the message that we should have, Rabbi Isai. Move on, keep moving, so that we can finally figure out what our tafkid is. And you will be Kimoshev Aaron. Nobody asks you to be Moshe Aaron. They ask you to be you. And with that, you should be Zoicha to do your tafkid in life. And that should be Mirtz Hashem, bring the Geula Shleim of Meheir V'Yameinu. Amen.